Hello, and welcome to the Albuquerque Theater Guild's weekly podcast. I'm Mike Miller, and I'm your host. Join us every Monday morning. This is where we'll tell you what's happening in performance in Albuquerque. We'll keep a running calendar of shows opening and closing, and talk to interesting people involved in entertainment here. This week, our special guest is Lee Kitz. She's directing The Father at the Vortex Theater. But before we get to Lee, let's look at what's on the boards and what's coming up. Florian Zeller's The Father, from the French version translated by Christopher Hampton, opened this past weekend at the Vortex Theater and runs through February the 4th. Q Solo, the fourth annual festival of solo performances, also opened at the Oxdog and runs through the 28th. On January 20th, a panel of Albuquerque theater luminaries will share their experiences working in this very special theatrical genre at Sandia Prep. The program, titled Going It Alone, Solar Performance Acting, Directing, and Writing, is a one-time event at 3 p.m. The evening before, on January 19th, Palabolas arrives again at Popejoy for a single performance, and Theatre Grotesco's Pie continues its run at the Q Staff Theatre through the 27th. Nightfall, with Edgar Allan Poe, presented by Encore Theatre, continues through the 21st at the Desert Rose Playhouse, and on January 26th, Albuquerque Little Theatre opens a three-week run of Wait Until Dark. At the Adobe Theater, after a major renovation, they open their 2018 season with the smash hit comedy Double Wide Texas on January 18th and continue through February 11th. Siembra Latino Theater opens its season on February 1st at the National Hispanic Cultural Center with local playwright Patricia Crespin's El Corrido de Jorge, George's Song. Also on February 1st, Popejoy brings in the Russian National Ballet Theatre's Swan Lake. Musical Theatre Southwest opens Bonnie and Clyde on February 2nd, and the two stars, Tyler Nielsen and Jessica Quinlan, will join us in the coming weeks to discuss that musical. For times and ticket information on any of these events, please revisit the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's website at www.abqtheatre.com. Spell theatre.com. Now, let's visit with Lee Kitz. This week we're delighted to speak to Lee Kitz, who is directing The Father at the Vortex Theater. Hello, Lee.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get started on The Father, what I'd like to do is explore a little bit about Lee Kitz. Yeah, ooh, put you on the spot right away. Tell me a little bit about your growing up and how you got involved in theater and why you're directing a show like The Father.
Okay, well, gee. I came rather late to the theater. I had little children. I hadn't done any theater or anything, and I sort of responded to the back of a volunteer request for a small theater in California. And sort of ended up stage managing a big show with a headset and everything. And loved it. And then decided that summer that I wanted to go to acting school. And so I did. I went to acting school in San Francisco for 3 years. And kind of moved around a lot. Moved up to Ashland, Oregon. And lived there and raised my sons. And moved back to Albuquerque after lots of hopping around, living in a lot of different places, back to San Francisco, Hawaii, Kentucky, Louisville, and back here where I grew up in 2007. So I really had been gone about 43 years. Left to go to college and came back. I've never regretted it. I've just been amazed at the huge atmosphere here of art and theater, and my mother would always say, there's lots here, you should come back. And I go, yeah, but no, she was right. And it's been so wonderful for these past 10 years. I've just this is my third show at the Vortex, And this one is probably my favorite play I've ever done. This experience with this cast has been amazing. They're so generous and talented, you know, the kind of cast where you just nudge them and they go, and willingly and fruitfully, you know. It's just been lovely, and I think I'm going to be really sad when I have to hand it over to the stage manager this time.
Who is your stage manager?
Heather Lovick-Tolley.
Oh, Heather, yes.
Yeah, she's been wonderful, and I had no idea how adept she was, really, since we've gone into tech. She is amazing.
She's quite talented.
She really is.
She is quite talented.
Very,
I've worked
very.
With her.
Yeah.
Yeah. A number of us around town have worked with her from time to time, and she gets the job done.
Yeah.
That's true.
I feel very lucky.
So let's talk about The Father, I guess. Would you rather be an actor or a director?
I was trained as an actor, and I did lots of acting, but then very quickly started directing in like 1984. I directed my first play. And I think I'm really a director. That's what I love. I love rehearsal. I love backstage. I love the whole rehearsal process best. And when I'm acting, I love it. I love creating a role. I love that whole process in rehearsal. And then once we get on open, I'm like, after about a week, I'm kind of, I think I'm done now.
Where did it go?
Yeah.
Well, you have a similar feeling at the end of a show, though, if you're an actor.
Yes, that's very true.
Because you build a little family.
Yes.
And and I'll ask you if you found the same thing. One of the things that I find, both as an actor and as a director in Albuquerque, is that the family is pretty well already in place.
No.
When you cast a show, you have people who have worked together a lot before, and or even once or twice before, but it's formed its own little family. And would you find that same way?
Yes, I was just thinking about that today because I had heard that Alan Hudson had passed, and
yes,
I didn't know that until today. And I didn't ever have the pleasure of working with him, but I watched him work on the stage a lot, and from what I've heard, he was much loved. And that led me to be thinking about that today, and thinking about how tight that community is, and beautiful. And that's what I love about theater. That's why I do it, is for that. It's like it's a level playing field. Everybody is better than they would be out there, you know.
Right.
They find the best of themselves.
Right.
And, you know, no matter what's going on in your life, you have to put it aside when you walk into the theater. You have to hang it up on a little hook, an invisible hook, and just say, I'll get you when I come back out, but I'm not taking you in there.
Right.
Because it doesn't work.
It doesn't. One of the fine things about performance art for me all my life has been the grasp it has on my sanity. Yeah, when all the other stuff outside is happening to you, the way you can respond to it and maintain sanity is by some sort of creative endeavor.
Absolutely.
And the theater does that for us here. Alan was a really fine actor and a really fine individual. I worked with him a couple of times, I think. At least the last show I worked with him was The Iceman Cometh, and he was just a joy.
What a great show that was. Gosh, that was good.
It was, and he will be missed. He certainly... I played the Irish cop, and I have no Irish accent except what he gave me.
Yeah.
I'd be able to use that from now on, but... So that's a part of Alan that I carry with me. Very, very fine gentleman. Approaching death. Ooh, we're all going there, sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And the father, certainly. He's a former tap dancer. He's 70 years old. And we are told this story through his eyes. Tell me about that.
Yes. It's a wonderful way to look at this kind of thing because it's very... It satisfies so many urges in us, you know, an intellectual urge to understand a sort of existential idea. And a really creative way to approach a script, which is non-sequential, non-linear, snippets of his life. All the scenes are sometimes repeated. And it's just a beautiful script because it really is a challenge. It's a challenge for certainly for Paul Ford. He has, and Frank Langella, who played it in New York last year, because it is almost every scene is a repetition of something. So trying to memorize those lines. Have you read the script?
I have not yet.
Yeah,
no,
it's quite something.
I've done a little research on it and read some snippets and have seen a couple of pieces of Mr. Langella's performance, but that's all I know about this.
Well, it's very spare, and it's very it's that wonderful kind of dialogue where, if you're an actor, it's where you get to really go at each other. You know, almost every scene has that in it, real connection and real something really happening. There's nothing casual. It's just like a pot, you know, boiling, just simmering under a lid. And the way we went about, the way I went about thinking about how I was going to direct it was, because I'm real linear. I am a real linear person. So I decided, I sort of went through the analysis and saw that it did fit a model that I could follow. It was brilliantly sort of had an arc, even though all of the scenes weren't connected. Mm-hmm. If that makes mm-hmm. any sense. It's like a quilt without any sewing.
It was very much how they make movies.
Yes, yes. It's very cinematic. And so we decided that we would approach it that way, as more film-like. The acting is informed by film. It's very sort of like Pinter.
Mm-hmm.
And but getting back to the way of going about it, I decided we had to look at each scene as its own reality that was completely justified, because the actors would go crazy. They don't have any backstory except for, you know, Andre, the main character, but he can't remember it.
Right.
So it's just creating each little piece as a little scene with its own world. And sometimes two people play one part.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's all sort of this way of creating his interior, which is quite fascinating. And I'm in awe of this playwright.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. I've read a few of his other plays, too, just to see what he was about in the other plays. And he's very fascinated with sort of a waking dream state. You know, he says that he didn't really know what this play was about until he finished it.
Mm-hmm.
That it was, he didn't know it was about dementia, or that it was more like a dream would be. And he's very fascinated with, you know, reality, what it is and what it isn't, and how subjective it is. And I lost my train of thought there.
That's okay. It'll come through.
Yeah,
again.
It will.
Honk its horn as it blow its
right,
whistle.
Right.
The father is questionably in dementia or not.
Yes, he is. Alzheimer's is never spoken.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of the symptoms, I went to the Alzheimer's chapter here in Albuquerque, and they were very forthcoming and helpful. You know, one of the things that I really learned from going there was how they are there mostly for the caregivers. You know, it's such a tragedy for caregivers. They're so isolated because most Alzheimer's patients are taken care of at home. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to learn more about it and what it was and what it wasn't, and from the top of the play, Anne, his daughter, is telling him he's got to have someone to take care of him, that he can't take care of himself anymore. I would say he is in the early to mid stages. He is not. He can still, you know, get dressed and all of that in the beginning of the play. You know, he's he putters around. He does things. He's forgetful, but he's not in the late stages. Mm-hmm. So it just it progresses through the play. And, you know, I just really hope people will come and not think that it's really depressing. It's really not. It's a real journey. It's a real inspiring hero's journey. I mean, he fights all the way through. And, you know, we're really hoping for him, you know, with each scene that unfolds. We hope it's we know sort of where it's going, but we hope maybe we're wrong. And Paul Ford is just wonderful in this role. He's just...
Paul's wonderful in most of the things he does.
I know.
And so he gets tapped a lot to do these kinds of roles.
All of the actors are really good in this.
Yeah. Well, I noticed Merritt Glover, of course, is in it also.
Yes.
And she's somebody whose work I know. Who else is in the cast?
Blake Magnuson, Christine Cornils, Jen Stevenson, and who's the other one? Oh, Mark Hissler.
Oh.
Mark Hissler, of course.
Okay. All right.
And two of them that I know of, I'm not sure about Blake if he was in Paul's, that Paul was his teacher at UNM, but for Merritt and Jen, mm-hmm. he was their acting teacher, and so they're all just thrilled to be working with him.
Right.
I think that's why I got them all.
Well, it may well be.
Yeah.
Paul and I go back a number of years, I guess, when he first arrived in Albuquerque. We began working together in things that he would occasionally cast me in, and we got to be good friends over the years. And we share a birthday, not only the same day, but the same year.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting.
Well, happy birthday. I know he just had one.
Thank you. He did. There's a very funny story about that that he may tell you or he may not, and how we discovered that.
I'll ask you.
But I'm not going to tell it here. That's
okay.
Anyway.
You're really twins.
That's a very funny story. Yeah. Well, we're not twins. We weren't born in the same place. And their lives took distinctly different directions, but we ended up sort of merging here. There are Jeff Hudson shares the same birthday, and Marina Gelpe, all four here in the theater. And of course,
same
Marina
year?
Is not now, but yeah,
oh my
same
gosh,
year.
That's amazing.
Same day, same year.
Wow.
I just worked with a kid who just turned 15, and turns out his birthday's on the 4th, so I sent him a little note. He's from Colorado. Nice guy. Very talented, very talented young man. And then I think all of us Capricorns are, so.
Yes, of course.
And all of the Capricorns in the audiences are clapping and cheering now, and everybody else is booing. So we'll give them their shot as their month comes up. Tell me about what it's like to take this really sensitive story and make it come together with the different personalities. I mean, I did a film recently, within the last couple of years, and Frank Langella was in it, and I was in it. We happened to work the same day, and I had an opportunity to sit and talk with him.
Wow.
And so I know a little bit about his personality as an individual. Not very much. A small, brief conversation doesn't give you that much, but he's a really nice guy. But his... He's a different person than Paul Ford. And Paul's a different person than Frank Langella, obviously. The question is, with a play that's so well-known, a piece of really hard drama that's so well-known and has won all kinds of awards, how do you put that together with a different cast?
Well, here in Albuquerque, I don't think people know about it because they don't seem to know. That's one of the things I love about this, mm-hmm. is that it's going to be new to Albuquerque audiences.
Right.
So that's exciting. I just always look at each piece I direct as its own entity, brand new, now here for the first time kind of thing. I think we decided pretty early on that our measure of success would be that we would have a blast, even with this dark material, that we would have fun together and laugh a lot, that we had to laugh a lot. And so we've done that. We've done that. You know, the play isn't terribly long, too, which is wonderful with the subject matter. It's only about, ours is going to be about 85 minutes.
With an intermission?
No intermission. Goes straight through, which is lovely. Right. It really gains momentum and goes just, it's gone in a flash. I decided that we could, we didn't always even rehearse that long at night. You know, when we got tired, we stopped. Mm-hmm. And that was really nice because it's sort of the way it's come out with the rehearsal time. This week we are ready for an audience, and everybody was off book before Christmas, which was wonderful and ready. Yeah. Pretty much, we had a run through that was wonderful, and then coming back, everybody was rested, and I just think it's also we've had a little smiling muse hanging over us that's sort of blessed us with some grace, and we love the piece. Everybody loves it. And that really matters, you know. And now with the design elements coming in, Casey Moran's has done incredible sound. Mary Rossman's set is beautiful and simple. Nina Dorrance, Alyssa Salazar, and our wonderful stage manager, of course. Gosh, I hope I haven't forgotten anyone. Sound, lights. Oh, Ray Ray.
Ray Ray.
There you go, yes. Oh, the lights are beautiful. So that's just come together, and it's going to be a beautiful show. Yeah. I guess everybody always feels that about their shows, but...
Well, actually, by the time this airs, we have already had an opportunity to have one weekend run. So I hope... Now that we're hearing this the Monday after you
open. That's okay.
That, in fact, that's exactly how it went. I have no doubt that it will. That's a very talented group of actors. And what is your process for directing a show, this show, any show?
I like to just carve it up into... scenes, no matter what it is, but this one is already carved up for me. It's 15 scenes, and no scene is more than 8 pages. So it's sort of set up that way, and then I start out, do one pass all through the whole play, because I think so often we go through, as actors, sometimes we get the first half of it rehearsed, and then we're racing to get the last half, so I like to go through a couple of times all the way through the play working and then starting to run early so that actors really have a good sense of what they're doing and they feel confident. That's my main thing, is wanting them to feel good about what they're doing, that they can try things, that they can... Like tonight, I want to say to the actors, even though they're so ready for an audience... Just take the opportunity to really connect and to find something new that you didn't know, you know, and let yourself have that, and who knows,
right?
You know, because that's going to happen all the way through the run.
Well,
there are going to be moments of discovery still.
It, of course, and it really does. That's I want to say for hopefully the benefit of the theater and the actors, don't wait till the last week. Yes, they will discover things, and yes, it will be perhaps more solid by the end of the run. But that's not fair to the theater. It's not fair to the actors, and it's really not fair to the audience, because the audience gets the opportunity at any given point through the run of seeing fresh that moment. And so to wait until something better happens is sort of life.
There is no. It is living, breathing, moment-to-moment stuff. And it's already wonderful, I can really say. And that's not... That is because of the actors. I just wanted to say that never before have I worked on a piece where we've all been so conscious of the audience every single minute, every single rehearsal, because they are going to have the experience of Andre's. They're going to live Andre's experience.
Right.
And so we are always looking at it through their eyes and seeing each, the actors have been seeing themselves through Andre's eyes, not through their own mm-hmm. thing. So imagining what they're seeing, and that's my job from the outside, is telling them what they're seeing right. from him. And so that's been fascinating. So right. there's this building a character thing, and which is...
They are becoming the character, yes?
They are becoming a character, but it's not something that's internalized the way we usually do it,
uh-huh.
you know, where we build a whole story, a history, we, you know, it's... How is he seeing me? If I'm his playing his daughter, for instance,
right.
how is he seeing me in this moment when I smile? Is my smile scary to him? Because it is to dementia and Alzheimer's. Uh-huh. Sometimes facial expressions can be interpreted in really different ways, and they can be very frightened.
Sure.
And so, you know, learning about that and having and Paul Ford reacting in a certain way then informs the actress more about who she is.
Sure.
It's really interesting.
It is, and I'm looking forward to seeing it if I haven't already by the time this airs. In that, I've changed my direction style a little bit in that I do it. Based on relationship in the moment, as opposed to predetermining where the action is going to be and what they're doing. I let them decide based on who they are in the moment and how they are connected with that other character who's working with them or who is not there. Let them develop the action and the play as it goes in the moment based on relationship, because that's how we live.
And that's what we go to the theater to see.
Right.
That's what we care about, is the connection.
Exactly. We don't care about any of the rest of it.
No.
Are they connected?
It's like, are they connected? Are they affecting each other?
Yes.
Are they changing each other?
And that's I think, a real telltale about the quality of a show and the quality of the performers and, of course, the whole team that puts it together, because without one, it's not the same.
Right.
And it doesn't matter which one. Everybody has an important role in the process. So, and I think that's true. You know, I really do see theater as analogous to life, mm-hmm. because that's what we do every day, is we attempt to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
We attempt to connect with each other. Is that something that
rings
a bell with you?
Oh, absolutely. It's the most important thing. It's all there is, really.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why people feel so isolated now. You know, they aren't doing it as much. Yeah.
They get their little cell phone and their little smartphone that isn't so smart anymore.
Right.
That's the real problem. At my age, my cell phone's smarter than I am.
Yeah, no, so. Me too. I just think theater is more important than ever because of this time we're living in. It's a time where people can go and sit in a room and have an experience together, sit in the dark and forget themselves, you know? Just see ordinary people living extraordinary lives, you
yes.
know? And extraordinary in the sense that they're connecting in ways that maybe, you know, we all want to. And especially with wonderful writing and simplicity and economy of movement and all of those things, you know, just make for magic. And that's why I am still and will be till I keel over, I think, involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what would you have us know about this show?
Well, bring your Kleenex, but don't worry that you won't be entertained along the way, because it's charming. There are funny moments. There's a lot of love. And I just really want people to see it. And it isn't in the same way I've wanted people to see things I've been in or directed before. It's just I want them to see it because I think they'll come away having learned something more about themselves and some understanding about what we know so little about, and, you know, the dementia road. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is such an interesting thing, but I don't think it's, well.
Well, let me bounce something off of you and see if that rings a bell. The more you know about something, the less scary it is, perhaps.
Maybe.
And this maybe will help educate.
Right. I mean, you know, I really don't have the numbers on the tip of my tongue, but it's just astounding, the epidemic proportions that this thing has, and with so many of our age now coming, you know, of age, it's just huge, huge numbers, and we really don't understand it. And I really feel so much for the carers, the people that are giving of their lives to their loved ones, and that they not feel isolated, that they somehow feel, I hope they will come to this and feel supported and understood, and not supported so much as just comforted, that there's some understanding out there about this, and that they're not alone,
right.
You know, that they aren't alone in this, that they can reach out and get help and get, I mean, the Alzheimer's chapter has, you know, funding for people to come in and take over while carers go and get some time away, you know, that kind of thing.
That
I think people don't know that.
They don't. That's an important piece of information.
Yeah. They are a huge resource of support. And I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that was, you know, until you come up, it comes up into your life. You don't know to even ask. You don't even know what the questions are,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
So, gosh, they're wonderful people over there. And we're doing a benefit for the Alzheimer's Association. The cost of the tickets will be just a little more, $25, but it will all go to funding for caregivers.
So that's still in front of us.
Yes.
So our audience, of course, can put that on their calendar and go and support an excellent, excellent cause. At the same time, seeing a great piece of theater with some great actors and, dare I say, great director. We've been talking with Lee Kitz, who is directing The Father at the Vortex Theater, and it continues its run this week for how many more weeks, Lee?
Four weekends.
Through
February
total.
4th.
Okay. So there's still plenty of time to go see it, and we hope that you do. And that will do it for us today,
Thank
Lee.
You so much, Michael.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
That does it for us this week. Join us again next week as the Albuquerque Theatre Guild's podcast will keep you up to date on what's playing and bring you special features like performance interviews and a bit of insider knowledge. Next week's guest is Patricia Crespin to talk about her play, El Corrido de Jorge, opening at the National Hispanic Cultural Center on February 1st. Until then, go see some live performance art, and we'll see you right back here next week. ¶¶